a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Whew. You ask for phone calls and people text in.
Hey, you can't tell them what to do, Debbie.
801-575-TALK. Are you brave enough to sound off about the economy? 801-575-TALK. The reason Ethan and I are talking about this right now is because there's this new poll that more and more Americans are feeling iffy about the future. We're gonna check the pulse of our listeners, Ethan, to see how they're feeling. That's why we're asking for phone calls. I heard this on Utah's Morning News as I was driving in this morning. ABC's Karen Travers called in and Amanda Dixon hosting the show while Tim is on vacation. And they had a very intriguing conversation about how Americans have been feeling in the past few months. How are you feeling, though, Ethan?
I actually am really optimistic.
You are?
Well, yeah. Now, there are different ways to look at it. And everyone looks at it like this, right? There's the near term, medium term, long term, right? So you might feel very enthusiastic about the long term, but a little frightened about the near term. But, you know, there are always moves you can make. There are always things that you can do. One of the things that I think we're all hoping to see here come out of this rocky time that we're having economically is increased wages. There's a lot of pressure to increase wages.
That's true.
And I think that's one of the benefits that's going to come out of it.
Some companies have done that over the last few weeks. I've seen wages go to $14, $15 an hour as a minimum wage for that company.
When you look at the American economy, it's a collection of companies and people, right? It's you and me working at buying things from patronizing different businesses. And our business world today it's phenomenal. I mean, we have so many great and amazing companies that are being formed, so much forward thinking out there that, boy, I have a high level of optimism.
So there's this new poll that Karen Travers of ABC News was talking to Amanda about this morning. And it says that the Americans' optimism about the direction of the country has plummeted nearly 20 points. I want to hear what she had to say this morning on Utah's Morning News. And then I want to boil this down to the kitchen table. I mean, I think right now we're kind of talking from the 40,000 foot up level, Ethan, when you talk about, you know, America's a compilation of a lot of companies. And I just want to know how you're feeling when you sit down to dinner at night. So first, what do you have to say, Karen?
The decline in optimism, notably, it's across the board. It's among Democrats, Republicans, and independents. The president, when you look at some of his numbers, he still has a majority approval rating on his handling of the pandemic. It's at 63%. But that's down 9 points since late March, his handling of the economic recovery, just at 53%. So over the midpoint, but down 7 points since late March. And I think the question, and we don't know this from the data here in this poll, is, you know, how much that optimism or now pessimism about the direction of the country is then attached to President Biden and bringing down those numbers. There's a lot of things that could be driving these numbers, and it's not quite clear what's bringing that down, but it's not a great number right now in terms of how people are feeling about where the country is going.
Yeah, it's a really hard time. It's a really hard time right now. We're getting mixed signals from the unvaccinated pandemic
But how do you feel when you sit down at dinner every single night and you're talking to your family about the because I remember these conversations when I was a kid growing up, and you'd sit down and you'd listen to your parents talk about it. And I know that I eat solo every night. I don't have these conversations with myself, but you have a family at home. What are you guys talking about?
TV mostly. But what I want to push back, though, because there is something that I'm teaching my kids. And I want to push back on the idea that, you know, this business with the companies and the economy is just over people's heads. because it doesn't need to be, and it's not really. If you're saving into a 401k, where do you think that money's invested? It's invested in American companies. Probably all of it is. And so it's something that you've got to be a part of. You've got to play a role in that, because I think you're going to be well served to engage the economy in a meaningful way. It's going to make you more confident about the future, and it's going to make you wealthier in the long run. You have to get invested.
Look, if let's say that I have somebody at the kitchen table tonight for dinner, I got to say, and we asked this question, I'll be honest, I don't feel as good about the direction of where things are going as I did 6 months ago. I wanted to put baseboards, for example, replace the baseboards in my house. And I go down to Home Depot and lumber's through the roof. And I know it's come down some, but that was just a few weeks ago. I'm paying more and more at the gas pump right now, to the point where I'm coupon shopping, which is fine. I should coupon shop anyways, Ethan. But I feel like it's not just a few dollars more per tank.
But
it's like $100 more a month.
Yeah, but you're only, but that's only,
and that's
one,
just one car.
But that's only one part of the equation. What if you were working right now for one of these really great Utah tech firms that's innovating and pushing forward, that just went public? Well, then you're feeling great about the future.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm doing.
No, I know that. But
so I'm glad they feel great about it.
Plenty of us are. And I'm just saying that the more you participate and the more that you're in there and the more that you're putting yourself out there, the more confident that you're going to be. It's easy to pull back and retract into politics and, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. But, you know, those people that are out there that are putting their money to work, and you don't have to have a lot of money to invest, but I encourage people every day to get involved with these companies. Buy shares. You're going to love it. Oh. You're going to feel great about America again by just getting
Gary,
in the economy.
Gary from West Valley City. I mean, you got to settle the score here. Whose side you on, Ethan's or Deb's?
Oh, Deb, us Sun Devils got to stick together, right?
Okay, go for it. Please help me out.
I'm really worried about the economy. And Ethan, I really value your opinion. You're bringing up very good points. My fear is, you know, minimum wage. With minimum wage and even restaurants just going up, I feel it's going to start slowly driving prices up because, I mean, let's face it, we live in a corporate America and rich want to stay rich and keep getting richer. And you know, they're going to start finding ways to, you know, get their millions of dollars again. And one way to do that is, you know, they can't cut the wages, so they're going to raise their prices and the cost of things. And we're already kind of seeing it. And I remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about restaurants.
Yep.
The cost of going out to eat was slowly going up. And it's going to be a situation where costs are just going to keep rising because, as I said, rich want to stay rich, and that's one way they'll do it.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what he's explained is actually just kind of a part of the economy. And I think that you're right. When costs go up for a company, then the price can go up with the product. But when was the last time? And so anyone concerned, though, that an increase in minimum wage is going to lead to rampant inflation, I would just ask a simple question. When your boss last offered you a raise, did you decline it in the name of low inflation? How many of you have gone to your boss and said, no, 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 I don't want a cost of living increase. I don't want this raise because I don't want to raise inflation.
All right, you win one.
So
you scored 1 point on that. That's true.
Prices go up over time. Wages need to as well.
But we haven't even touched on the housing market. Rents are out of reach. More 20-something-year-olds are living at home longer with mom and dad. And my son was trying to buy a house. He was out and about this spring and into summer trying to buy a house, and offer after offer after offer. I mean, he's in a bidding war.
Yeah.
It got to the point where, you know, there's no way it's within reach for him, at least right now, at least not in Utah, Ethan. So
yeah.
These are all the reasons why, when I start having this conversation tonight at the dinner table with myself, yeah, I'm going to have to say, honestly,
you can call me, Deb. You can call me.
Don't feel good about where things are right now with the economy.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Dave and Dejanovic have inside sources.
Ethan Millard in today for Dave Noriega. And Ethan and I just had a very lively conversation moments ago. If you missed it, you can podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And we decided to bring in Boyd Matheson to just kind of settle the score. So welcome, Boyd.
Is this Olympic scoring? Can
Hopefully you've been keeping track of the conversation. We're going to ask you very detailed questions.
And if you haven't been keeping track, if you're just tuning in now and wondering what in the world we're talking about, the President of the United States has now held office for about 6 months or so. And there's this new poll out that optimism about the direction of the country has plummeted 20 points, according to ABC News. Heard this reported this morning on Utah's Morning News when Karen Travers called in from ABC to talk to Amanda Dixon about this.
The decline in optimism, notably, it's across the board. It's among Democrats, Republicans, and independents. The president, when you look at some of his numbers, he still has a majority approval rating on his handling of the pandemic. It's at 63%, but that's down 9 points since late March. His handling of the economic recovery, just at 53%, so over the midpoint, but down 7 points since late March. And I think the question, and we don't know this from the data here in this poll, is, you know, how much that optimism or now pessimism about the direction of the country is then attached to President Biden.
So where do you think this is, Boyd? How much of this do you think is attached to Biden himself?
You know, I think a lot of it, I'm one of those who always believes, especially when it comes to the economy, presidents get far too much credit when it goes well and far too much blame when it goes south.
I agree. This was another subtopic of the show today.
Yeah. So with that as a caveat, I do think there are some things that are concerning to the American people. I think the fact that we're still talking about infrastructure and that spending, I think people are starting to think, can anything really be done? Can we really move it forward?
When you talk about infrastructure, you're talking about the bill that's before Congress, perhaps even this week. They haven't quite drafted it,
I don't think, yet.
Yeah, they're still writing it. But that has to do with improved roads and bridges.
Boyd. Yeah, and the spending component, I think, is where a lot of Americans are starting to say, well, now, wait a minute. So if you add up the bipartisan bill, if you throw in what the president and the Democrats want to throw in with another $3.6 trillion, if you add up all the spending for the first 6 months of the administration, it's $8 trillion. So just perspective, that's five times the President Trump tax cuts, which both Democrats and Republicans said we couldn't afford. It's also, here's a real easy way to look at it. With the amount of spending in just the first 6 months, you could give every American household $60,000.
Let's do it.
All in favor? Can we take a vote on
that?
Great
idea, Boyd.
Well, that's food for thought, Boyd.
It is. And I think people are worried that that amount of spending, people are starting to feel that in terms of the lag.
Nobody sent their stimulus money back, Boyd.
Nobody sent their
stimulus money back. Now here we are. We're worried because we're spent so much money.
So you're able to rattle off these numbers because you're Boyd Matheson. But I question, though, is this really math that the average voter, even people who vote all the time, is this really math that they're able to do in their heads? Because I question whether these numbers are really what's driving the.
Yeah. So I think what's really driving it is one step below the numbers, because I agree with you, Ethan. I don't think anybody's sitting around the kitchen table saying, are we really spending $8 trillion? How much is $8 trillion? Yeah. That's a lot of money. But I think what people are starting to feel is just that pressure. People are watching gas prices. People are watching, you know,
home
prices, access to goods and services are all going up. And I think that's what people are starting to feel. And eventually they're going to recognize what they're going to start connecting those dots.
Yeah.
And that's the problem for the communication side of the administration. They've got to shift the conversation.
Certainly they're going to try and do that. I don't know that they'll be able to be successful, though, because if I could put my finger on one thing that I didn't like about what was happening, it was causing me short-term consternation. It was the reintroduction of the crazy politics over the last several weeks. Things got quiet when President Biden was first elected. I think people like that. I think the economy does well when people are when the politics are quiet. But the reintroduction of, well, maybe President Trump will be the nominee again, and maybe he could be Speaker of the House in the meantime, and maybe we need to do this investigation. Let's not. Let's do it with these guys. Yeah. That kind of the reintroduction of the crazy politics is what's dragged me down for the first time this year.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point, because I think a lot of what happens is it creates uncertainty. Crazy politics creates uncertainty on many levels. It creates uncertainty. We've seen it in the stock market over the last 2 weeks.
It can, yeah.
A lot of because nobody knows. Is all this spending going to go through? Is it not going to go through? President Trump, former president, is weighing in on this and that. Where does that go? The uncertainty is unsettling, first to businesses, then that impacts people's jobs and employment. So what is my economic outlook going to be for the next few months because of the craziness of the politics? And yeah. So it's one more area where division drives uncertainty and hesitancy, and that undermines confidence.
And it undermines the economy.
Yeah.
I disagree with both of you on this, Ethan and Boyd. And that is, you said, like, people aren't really paying attention to the $8 trillion all at once. My experience in conversations with friends and family is they're very aware. And I don't think it's just because I'm in the news business and they want to seem like they're on the same page with me, but they're very aware because it's all come at once in a very short window of time. And the numbers are staggering. It's in the trillions and trillions of dollars. So I do think, Ethan, people are following how much money is going out the door.
I think people are concerned about spending. But if you were to break it down, percent of GDP compared to past presidents, compared to past economic...
Aren't we afraid of higher taxes, though, of this? I mean, they got to get the money from someplace.
But this, again, I think the narrative is more of, am I someone who's afraid of government spending? Because then you are thinking about the government spending, but how many people could really lay it out in a manner that would be meaningful, like as a percent of the larger economy or compared to past instances in different situations? I think very few people are able to do that.
Yeah, not a lot of people are going down that path, but those numbers do matter. We are going to cross over the 1-to-1 ratio. We will be at 106% of GDP with all of this additional spending that's scheduled for this, again, through this first 6 months.
But I could get 60 grand out of it.
But yeah, if we can get that fast, Ethan, we'll all be really happy about that.
I want to know that number.
We're talking right now to Boyd Matheson. You hear him every day right here on KSL News Radio from 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon with Inside Sources. And it's all about a new poll that says Americans are feeling more iffy about the future than they were just a few months ago. And you really haven't blamed President Biden here, Boyd, in your take.
No, I won't because I can be an equal opportunity offender when it comes to this, because it is the, going back to where Ethan started, it's this confusion that undermines confidence. And I worry as much about that as I do the spending. The spending is a huge problem that we have to get to, and it will become very real, and it will hurt the poor and the most vulnerable among us the most if we continue on this inflation path, this spending path, this net $30 trillion of national debt path. Those are all real things. In the short term, it's that confidence in the future. Will I still have a job? Do I have upward mobility and opportunity? Do my children have opportunity and upward mobility? Can we get the house? Can we keep the roof over the head? Those things are all very real, and they are starting to weigh heavily because of the fake fights and the false choice that are coming out of Washington.
And it's so frustrating because I feel like right now people are being asked to vote to settle scores.
Yeah.
And that's the hard thing, because there's so much to be enthusiastic about in America. I mean, we're at this amazing inflection point in our economy and with our businesses and technology. Yeah. And we're just on the precipice. But I feel like this just rotten... these rotten attitudes are holding us back, and they can sabotage us. You know?
No question. I had the chance to sit down with the 8th Archbishop to the United States from the Greek Orthodox Church, who was here in Utah over the weekend.
Mm.
And he said one of the things he loved about Utah is that you could have people of different political parties who agreed on principle, that they haven't allowed the politics. A difference in politics or policy is not necessarily a difference in principle. And that's what we got to get back to. That's the real conversation.
Boyd Matheson, look forward to your show today at 1 o'clock right here on KSL News Radio. Straight ahead, you know, Utah's in this mega drought that's been going on for 20 years. And then we see a story that they're cloud seeding for rain in Dubai. They are cloud seeding for rain in Dubai. We're going to delve into how it works. And we're going to ask this question of an expert. Is this the ticket out of Utah's drought?
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.